Episode 17 of the World of FPGA podcast. Let's dive deeper into the debugging stuff. There are different ways of debugging an FPGA and the logic inside. Welcome to the World of FPGA podcast. I'm your host, David Kirchner, and I will lead you through the world of FPGA. And now, let's begin. As I mentioned in the last episodes, we will now go a little bit deeper into the topic debugging an FPGA. And again, all the stuff I'm talking about in this episode is more or less Xilinx-based, or better, AMD-based. That's because I've done very often designs in Xilinx and with Xilinx FPGAs, but I guess you can also transfer this knowledge to other manufacturers like Intel, like Lattice, or other FPGA companies. So there are different kinds of debugging an FPGA, and the first and the easiest way is observing signal outputs. That's the easiest way because we just look at the signals which are coming out of your logic, out of your FPGA, and because you know what you have done to the input, what you have for input signals in your FPGA design, and you know what your FPGA should do, that's what you have programmed, you should know the output results. And this is quite okay and suitable for simple designs. And before that, you can also doing some simulation of your FPGA code to get a better idea what signals should come out of your FPGA logic. So this is the first idea to debug your FPGA, and it's just a no-brainer. Yeah, so just observing the signal outputs. And the second one is bringing some internal signals to the outer world. That's another idea, and for this you should also have some measurement things like a digital scope or a logic analyzer or something like that. Because if you're routing signals of the internal of your internal logic out, you should just have this chance to measure them. So it's also, as always, a good idea to have a debug connector on the outside. Well, maybe just 8 signals coming out of the FPGA going to a pin header with some ground and maybe also some supply voltage. And you can use this later for expansion, but now you can use it to debug your FPGA logic. So you're routing special signals you want to analyze just out of your FPGA. And it's a good idea to have some kind of synchronization stage that you have not too long signal traces inside your FPGA from your internal logic to the output pin. So it should have synchronization stage, but it's important to have the correct frequency for this for the flip-flop stage. And then you can connect the signal to the output. And this is quite a good idea if you have some space left on your PCB somewhere in the near to your FPGA, and then choose appropriate signals. And again, first you can doing some simulation and then measure the results against your simulation. Well, that's the second idea how you can debug. And now we are going to another idea to debug signals. And this is completely inside the FPGA. And now we are going a little bit deeper into the Xilinx world. So we have, we are using now a debug core. And this is the idea behind this is you have a logic analyzer inside your FPGA. You didn't root out any signals out of your FPGA, you did not observe them with an external device. You have the FPGA. The FPGA has block RAM, and you can use this block RAM together with some logic as integrated logic analyzer. And that's also the name of the core from Xilinx. It's the ILA core, the integrated logic analyzer. So this logic analyzer inside the FPGA can grab internal signals. It uses block RAM to store some periods of the signals. You can have triggers for your edges, or you can trigger for pattern, or you can combine two triggers. So the first signal comes up and the second signal is high, then trigger. And the content of the block RAM, which is storing the result of the analyzer, is transferred via JTAG to your host computer and will be displayed in the Xilinx Vivado development suite. But there is a very big but. But this is not flexible. You have no flexible connections. You have to choose the correct signals, or you have to choose your signals you want to observe to the ILA core. And then you are doing the synthesis and the implementation and the bitstream generation and so on. So it's, after all, it is part of your bitstream. So if you have the idea to bring this to your customers, maybe you should deactivate the cores and doing again all the implementation stuff. And if you choose too big storage, then you will get timing problems because the block RAMs are located all over the FPGA and the ILA logic has to connect all of them together. Yeah, this ILA block is just dropped into your, for example, in your block design. You can have the system, what's the name? It's a system ILA. You can just connect to your, put into your block design and then connect them, the inputs to your signals. You can also instantiate it as an VHDL module, or you can create a debug core with the help of the constraint file. So there are different ways, however you want to use it. It's always a good idea to have some debug cores while you are creating your firmware. And you can put one or several ILA cores into your FPGA design. They're all connected to a debug hub, and this hub is connected automatically to the JTAG port to get the signals out of the FPGA. I have some important news. You should use, or you must use, the correct clock signals for your ILA core. So the right clock signals of your signals should be the clock signal also of the ILA core. If you do not this, you will get some timing problems later on. You should, and I have said this, you should choose the right amount of memory. If you have too much memory, the design will be too big. Maybe it could not fit into your FPGA if it's too big. And the third one is, have not too much and not too little ILA blocks in your design while you are debugging. And now I have for this ILA blocks one special case. Sometimes it is necessary to measure a signal at a start condition. When the FPGA is programmed and the reset signal will be unset, you maybe want to trigger your ILA core. You want to trigger your signal measurement. In normal case, you're starting, the FPGA is starting, the development suite is connecting via your programmer and over JTAG to your design, and then you can trigger your FPGA. But this is more or less it's time too far away from a triggering at a startup point. So in this, for this, we have an, some a little trick. Settings had a little trick to doing this, to doing debugging on an FPGA startup. And there's three steps to create an ELA logic which triggers at the moment, or which is where the trigger is armed at the moment your FPGA is started. For this, the configuration can be stored in the ELA core in the design. And to do this, the first step is you have to use the standard workflow to start your design on your target hardware. So it's just your synthesis implementation, bitstream generation, programming, and then you start your design and you go to debugging stuff in the Vivado. And there is set up your ELA core with all the triggering and so on, which you want to have on the startup measurement. And after that, you have a TickleTK command or tickle command. It's called run underscore HW underscore ELA. So run hardware ELA. And there are some parameters coming after that. So for example, file, one of this is a file. And in this file, all the configuration is for the ELA core. You have to choose this also as a parameter for this command. All the configuration from the ELA core is stored in this file. And now you take this file, and in the second step, you open the last design checkpoint. So after routing, after everything is done, there is a checkpoint file, with the file extension DCP. And you open it, and then you put your created ELA configuration with the tickle command apply hardware ELA trigger. Now the configuration is will be copied into the ELA core in the design checkpoint. And on the third step, you write out the new bitstream with the tickle command write bitstream. So there are three commands with some parameters you have to choose. And after that, the new bitstream will be triggered directly after the system is started. So the ELA core is armed directly after start of the FPGA. And you can see, maybe if you want to trigger on the reset signal, you can do so. That's possible in this special case. Well, I hope you have now some ideas how to debug an FPGA system. All information, further information can be found at world-of-fpga.com/WFP017. If you found this episode helpful, please rate it on Apple Podcasts and share it with your colleagues and friends. That's the end of the today's podcast episode. Thank you for listening and for your attention. So I say goodbye. Here next time, your David Kirchner.